Chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga, Text 8. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Please repeat. Jnana.
Jnana.
Vijnana.
Vijnana.
Tripta.
Tripta.
Atma.
Atma.
Kuta.
Kuta.
Staha.
Staha.
Vijita.
Vijita.
Indriya.
Indriya.
Yukta.
Yukta.
Iti.
Iti.
Uchite.
Uchite.
Yogi.
Yogi.
Sama.
Sama.
Lostra.
Lostra.
Ashma.
Ashma.
Kanchana.
Kanchana.
Jnana Vijnana Triptatma.
Jnana Vijnana Triptatma.
Kutasto Vijitendriya.
Kutasto Vijitendriya.
Yukta Ityuchate Yogi.
Yukta Ityuchate Yogi.
Samalostrasma Kanchana.
Samalostrasma Kanchana.
Jnana Vijnana Triptatma.
Jnana Vijnana Triptatma.
Kutasto Vijitendriya.
Kutasto Vijitendriya.
Yukta Ityuchate Yogi.
Yukta Ityuchate Yogi.
Samalostrama Kanchana.
Samalostrama Kanchana.
Jnana.
Jnana.
By acquired knowledge.
By acquired knowledge.
Vijnana.
Vijnana.
And realized knowledge.
And realized knowledge.
Tripta.
Tripta.
Satisfied.
Satisfied.
Atma.
Atma.
A living entity.
A living entity.
Kutastaha.
Kutastaha.
Spiritually situated.
Spiritually situated.
Vijita Indriya.
Vijita Indriya.
Sensually controlled.
Sensually controlled.
Yukta.
Yukta.
Competent for self-realization.
Competent for self-realization.
Iti.
Iti.
Thus.
Thus.
Uchite.
Uchite.
It is said.
It is said.
Yogi.
Yogi.
A mystic.
A mystic.
Sama.
Sama.
Equipoise.
Equipoise.
Lostra.
Lostra.
Pebbles.
Pebbles.
Ashma.
Ashma.
Stone.
Stone.
Kanchana.
Kanchana.
Gold.
Gold.
Translation. A person is said to be established in self-realization and is called a yogi or mystic when he is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person is situated in transcendence and is self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stones, or gold, as the same. Please repeat. A person is said to be established.
A person is said to be established.
In self-realization.
In self-realization.
And is called a yogi.
And is called a yogi.
Or mystic.
Or mystic.
When he is fully satisfied.
When he is fully satisfied.
By virtue of acquired knowledge.
By virtue of acquired knowledge.
And realization.
And realization.
Such a person is situated in transcendence.
Is situated in transcendence.
And is self-controlled.
And is self-controlled.
He sees everything.
He sees everything.
Whether it be pebbles.
Whether it be pebbles.
Stones. Or gold.
Or gold.
As the same.
As the same.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Book knowledge without realization of the supreme truth is useless. This is stated as follows. Ata Sri Krishna namadi nabaved grayam indriyai sevan mukhe hijivado swayam eva spuratyadaha. No one can understand the transcendental nature of the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Sri Krishna through his materially contaminated senses. Only when one becomes spiritually saturated by transcendental service to the Lord are the transcendental name, form, quality, and pastimes of the Lord revealed to him. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.234. This Bhagavad Gita is the science of Krishna consciousness. No one can become Krishna conscious simply by mundane scholarship. One must be fortunate enough to associate with the person who is in pure knowledge, in pure Krishna consciousness. A Krishna conscious person has realized knowledge by the grace of Krishna. Because he is satisfied with pure devotional service, by realized knowledge, one becomes perfect. By transcendental knowledge, one can remain steady in his convictions. But by mere academic knowledge, one can be easily deluded and confused by apparent contradictions. It is the realized soul who is actually self-controlled, because he is surrendered to Krishna. He is transcendental because he has nothing to do with mundane scholarship. For him, mundane scholarship and mental speculation, which may be as good as gold to others, are of no greater value than pebbles or stones. Translation again. A person is said to be established in self-realization and is called a yogi or mystic when he is fully satisfied by virtue of acquired knowledge and realization. Such a person is situated in transcendence and is self-controlled. He sees everything, whether it be pebbles, stones, or gold, as the same. Hare Krishna. So this verse is so deep and complete, and the purport is so deep and complete, that the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness is contained in it. In fact, once there was a short item about Srila Prabhupada in Time magazine. Now, I haven't seen Time magazine in many decades, but it used to have a page called People, and it would have a paragraph about important people, events that involve important people during the last week. So I was based in Bombay, but People brought to my attention that Srila Prabhupada was reported in the People section of Time magazine. And I remember practically verbatim the little report. The first line was, "There is trouble stirring in Nirvana." The second line was, "When asked about Guru Maharaj Ji, who is also known as Bal Yogeshwar, when asked about Guru Maharaj Ji, Swami A.C. Bhaktivedanta, the founder of the Hare Krishna movement, replied, he claims to be God, but we have to consider whether he is God or dog. He is cheating the people, but Krishna is the supreme cheat, and when he meets Krishna, he will lose everything. So I thought of that quotation, and it struck me in exactly the same way, that the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness was contained in Srila Prabhupada's brief answer. The basic feature of everything that Prabhupada said and everything that the Bhagavad Gita says is that Krishna, or the Absolute Truth, is a person. He is the Supreme Person. And we have all of the qualities of Krishna, but in minute quantity. Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. We are one with Krishna in quality, but different in quantity, because he is infinite and we are infinitesimal. So that point was covered, that Guru Maharaj Ji is a cheater, but Krishna is the supreme, even in cheating. So if he tries to cheat Krishna, cheat people by accepting their worship of him as Krishna, then he will be cheated. And not just a little, but he'll lose everything. He'll lose everything. Now, not only was the whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness included in Srila Prabhupada's statements, but his words were prophetic. I don't know how much time we want to devote to the history of Guru Maharajji, but he did pretty much lose everything. He had a big program somewhere in the south or southwest, might have even been in Houston. He had a big program, and devotees got into the stadium and were distributing their books. And Guru Maharaj's people did not like their intrusion on their turf with the books, and so they filed a case against the devotees, and in the case the devotees won, which was like a blow to Guru Maharaj-ji and his organization. That was a relatively small defeat, I suppose, but Guru Maharaj-ji was actually appointed as Bhagavan by his mother. Yes, this is true. This is true. And Guru Maharaj-ji, after spending some time in America, fell in love with his American secretary and married her, which his mother did not approve. So she declared that he was no longer Bhagavan, and she appointed her younger son as the next Bhagavan. And this is true because there's a magazine in India, famous, called the Illustrated Weekly of India. It was like on the front cover, you know, of the Illustrated Weekly of India. So he did lose everything. So, yes, so this is our basic principle that we are pure spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna, and it is our constitutional position to serve him. And just that knowledge makes us liberated. There's a verse in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Mukti hitva anyata rupam swarupena vyavastitaha. Mukti, or liberation, means hitva, giving up, anyata rupam, that means other forms, other bodies, other identifications, and swarupena, being and being situated in one's swarup, or one's constitutional position. And what is one's swarup? Jiver hoy Krishna, jiver swarup hoy Krishna nityadas. One is the eternal servant of Krishna. So that is one's swarup. And to be established in one's swarup is mukti, or liberation. And when one is situated in that knowledge and realization, one is a yogi, he is in transcendence, he is self-controlled. And he considers all varieties of material interaction to be the same. Doesn't distinguish between pebbles, stone, or gold. Who knows the Sanskrit word for pebbles? Okay. If you know, don't give the answer. If you know, just raise your hand. Who knows the Sanskrit word for pebbles? You got the book right in front of you. I know. I was just joking. Who knows the Sanskrit word for stone? Who knows the Sanskrit word for gold? Just what I thought. We don't know the word for, except for a learned scholar, we don't know the word for pebbles, we don't know the words for stones, but we know the word for gold. That suggests that we don't see pebbles, stones, and gold the same. We attach more value to gold. And therefore, so many of us know the word for gold. But of course, there's a spiritual side, because Srimati Radharani has a golden complexion, so even otherwise, we think gold is especially valuable. Now, when one, so jnana, that means knowledge, acquired knowledge, Srila Prabhupada says, acquired knowledge. That one acquires by hearing. And vigyan means realized knowledge or knowledge that one has experienced through service. Of course, hearing is also service. It's the beginning, shravanam. So that's also one of the nine kinds of devotional service. But when one hears properly and applies what one has heard, then one engages fully in service. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, and any number of the nine processes are all nine. And when one engages in service, Krishna reveals himself, his name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes, and so on. And therefore, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, that kirtan must be accompanied by the mood of service. Without the mood of service, simply kirtan will not be effective, because the holy name and qualities of Krishna are revealed to one who serves him. So service is very important. So self-controlled, generally, when we hear that phrase, self-controlled, we might feel a little nervous, because we don't perhaps think of ourselves as self-controlled. We think of a yogi being self-controlled. He sits in his asana and he is fixed in his meditation, and he's not, his mind isn't wandering here and there, and he's not going to the to see what there is to eat and drink, and you know, he's self-controlled. But in devotional service, self-controlled really means not to, I mean, yes, the senses are controlled, but not in the sense of a yogi who just sits quietly in meditation, but in the sense of a devotee who is engaged in Krishna's service. We control the tongue, for example, by not by fasting, although we do fast on occasion, but by accepting only Krishna prasad, not eating, you know, food prepared by devotees in restaurants or supermarkets or wherever. And that is yukta vairagya. Now, this word, chittatma, satisfied, like we are, everyone wants satisfaction, but almost no one is satisfied. Everyone wants more of what they want and less of what they don't want. They're not satisfied, but we want to be satisfied. So, but we can be satisfied only with gyan and vigyan, which comes from being established in our constitutional position. There's a somewhat parallel verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that says, Yayatmasu Prasidati Savai Pumsang Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktirat Hoksaje Ahaitukiya Pratiyota Yayatmasu Prasidati, that only by engaging in devotional service to Krishna at Hoksaja, who's beyond the range of material mind and senses, ahaituki, without any cause, that means without any motive, without any material motive, and apratiyata, without any interruption, means exclusively engaged in devotional service without any extraneous motive, he is satisfied. So we may engage in a type of devotional service but not be completely satisfied. And the causes of our dissatisfaction in the practice of our devotional service is having some material motive, and along with that, but not necessarily, is having some gap in our activities. We chant our rounds to whatever degree of perfection. And then we think, okay, I've done that, so now I can watch the television, read the newspaper, or whatever. Srila Prabhupada sort of mimicked that mentality. He was chanting his rounds, and then at a certain stage, like he finished, put his beads down on the table, he said, I finished my rounds, now I can do any damn thing. So we can do that. I mean, it is a type of devotional service, mixed devotional service, but that won't satisfy us. But we want satisfaction. Now, even if one has other desires, but if one engages in devotional service very intensely, he or she can become completely purified. And this is a very important point. Again, there's another verse in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaridi. Now, akama means one who has no desires. That really means devotees. Sarva kama means one who's full of material desires. And moksha kama means one who is desirous of liberation. Udaridi, one who's like broad-minded. Tivrena bhakti yogena. He engages in devotional service with intensity. Tivrena. And yajeta purusha param. Such a person, he can achieve Krishna. So the key word here, a key phrase, is tivrena bhakti yogena, to engage in devotional service with intensity. You meet or read of devotees who have left us and attained exalted stages of Krishna consciousness. They were very intense in their practices. Like Ayendrapu was like very intense. Yamunadeva was very intense. And of course, Tamal Krishna was very intense. And others. So that is the key. You can say, well, I have material desires, you know, what can I do? Okay, you do have them, but even then, if you engage, you really put yourself into devotional service, then you can still achieve the same perfection. That means a pratihata, without an interruption. Of course, even then there can be some recreation. That's also in the Bhagavad Gita, that one who is moderate in his eating, sleeping, and recreation, he can achieve perfection. So what does this recreation mean? Now, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that in this context, recreation means going for walks. Doesn't mean going to the bowling alley. And Prabhupada said, you know, wrestling and swimming are Vaishnav sports. But anyway, I mean, times have changed. But the principles of Krishna consciousness have not changed. So, if we follow these principles, yeah, material motives means they're there. It's part of our conditioning. but it's not our real intention. But even then, there is the case of Dhruva Maharaj. He's a perfect example. Dhruva Maharaj had a material desire. He wanted a kingdom. But Tivrena Bhakti Yogina, he engaged in very intense devotional service. And as a result, Krishna came to him. Narayan came to him. And he asked him, you know, what do you want? And he said, I don't want anything. And the Lord said, well, what about your kingdom? You came and performed austerities, bhakti yoga, to get a kingdom. What about your kingdom? And he said that kingdom is just like a piece of broken glass. And now I have got you, who are the most valuable jewel. So, Swamin Kritartho Smi Varam Nayache. Now I am fully satisfied. I do not want any other boon. So, what we're thinking are valuable jewels, you know, name, fame, honor, reputation, material, you know, money, wealth, comforts, facilities, they're just like pebbles to someone who's realized Krishna. And having realized Krishna, he is fully satisfied. He doesn't want anything else. So that is a matter of realization. There's theoretical knowledge and realized knowledge. And this is a distinction that is made in the scripture, and it's a distinction that we experience. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam, va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani, janmanishvare, babatat bhakti rahai kakitvai. How many of you are aware of this verse? Yes, a very important verse, one of the eight verses of Shikshastakam. And what is the translation? Anthony?
I know, or do not want wealth, no many followers, nor a beautiful women.
Yes. Najanam, I don't want wealth. Najanam, I don't want followers. Nasundarim, I don't want to enjoy beautiful women. Nakavitam, I don't want mundane knowledge. What do I want? Bhavatad Bhakti Rahaituki Tayyu. Ahaituki, causeless devotional service. Manma Janmani Janmani Shri. Life after life. This doesn't want liberation. So we know this. We know this in theory. And if anyone asks us, what is your desire as a devotee, you will probably say, I want only to serve Krishna. But if we look deep in our hearts, is that the only desire that we have? It might not be. And that is that is demonstrated in our activities. Because we engage in other activities besides devotional service in order to fulfill those desires. So, our bhakti is not ahaitukhi, it's not without cause, we have some motive, and it's not apratihata, it's not uninterrupted. And so we're not fully satisfied. So to remedy this situation, it is highly recommended to associate with pure devotees, because association is very influential. Yes, in gross terms, if we associate with karmis, we'll be influenced to be karmis. If we associate with speculators, we'll be influenced to be speculators. If we associate with mixed devotees, we can be influenced to be mixed devotees ourselves. And if we associate with pure devotees, then we are influenced to become pure devotees. Now, I can't actually explain why, but let us say that I received some causeless mercy. There's ahaituki bhakti, that's one thing. There's also ahaituki kripa, causeless mercy. And I was allowed, or induced even, to spend about 8 weeks. No, more than 8 weeks. Anyway, ten weeks in Vrindavan. Actually, 11. It was like that, and I kept postponing my departure. I had, so many other things scheduled. And that time in Vrindavan was very potent. Now, there are five potent items in devotional service. Sadhu Sangha, associating with advanced devotees, Namakirtana, chanting the holy name, Bhagavat Shravanam, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Murti Sharanvita Sevana, serving the deity with faith and veneration, and Mathura Vasa, residing in Mathura Vrindavan or some holy place, Navadvip Mayapur. Jagannath Puri. So it's actually a process. I never really understood it like I did on this stay. It's actually a process. It means, like any other, it means opening your heart to Vrindavan. Vrindavan is Chintamani Dham, it's Bhagavat's Roop, it's a manifestation of Krishna. So it means like opening your heart to Krishna in the form of Vrindavan Dham, and accepting whatever mercy Vrindavan Dham gives you. And mercy, as we know, comes in different shapes and forms. I also could never quite understand the concept of kshetra sannyas, the vow that some of our acharyas have made never to leave the dham, never to spend a night outside of the dham. But I understood it differently, that the it's the Dham is personal. You have a personal relationship, and it's sort of like a personal commitment. You know that I'm not going to spend a night away from you. It's a very personal commitment. But I found in Vrindavan, as you know, as potent as just being in Vrindavan was, that it was really the association of close God brothers, or in, let's say in broader terms, pure devotees, that really made the experience extraordinarily powerful. And without their association, even being in Vrindavan Dham would not have had the same effect. It was really the combination of having their association in Vrindavan Dham. And having their association means Nam Kirtana, by the way, everything else. So that's like powerful. And even devotees who don't live there or who can't spend so much time there can have a powerful experience even in a brief visit. And being open to that experience of Tivrena Bhakti Yogena, and everything is magnified in Vrindavan. The same service you do in Vrindavan is magnified or multiplied 100 times. But then too, your offenses are also magnified or multiplied 100 times. So you have to be ready for Vrindavan. But devotees who spend time in Vrindavan, they're aware of this fact. And they are very careful not to commit offenses in the Dham, especially Vaishnava aparadha. And that whatever you get, even in a brief visit, can, you know, it will change you, and you can keep that with you. You want to keep that with you. So you get some experiences, like Vigyan. You have theoretical knowledge. I mean, this is one way you can get it in a japa retreat, in a festival. You can get it in... But generally, like getting away and really immersing yourself, like last year when we had the festival with His Holiness Indradumya Swami, gave the example of because like during the first, it was nice, you know, there's a little dancing, beautiful kirtan, a little dancing, and then he said, you know, there's got to be more. It's like, yeah, chanting Chaito Darpanam, it's cleansing the dust from the mirror of the mind. But this is a festival. This is like spring cleaning. Spring cleaning means you open up the windows, you open up the doors, you throw out the furniture, you pour water everywhere, you just flush all the dirt out. You know, this is like this spring cleaning. So you got to like really put everything into it. And I saw after that very powerful little talk, then after that it was like really dancing like crazy, and then you get that experience. So we need that experience. Otherwise, it's sort of, there's like a difference between our theory and our practice. So It was very interesting at the program on Wednesday. One of the devotees quoted Tamal Krishna Goswami, sort of arguing in favor of the devotees attending the temple programs, saying that, because devotees might have deities at home, they might have pictures of Krishna on the wall. They might think, well, I can do it at home. Why should I do it in the temple? He said, well, you know, the deity worship in the temple is better. The pictures on the wall in the temple are better. You do the same things, but it's better in the temple. Recently, I even heard, this is a very serious question, I really heard someone ask, I can do it all on the internet. I can go to Mayapur Live, and why do I even need to go to the temple? I can just stay at home, you know, boot up the computer. I can get it all at home. So, you know, I said, well, you know, there are things you can get in the temple that you can't get from the computer. And it's also our challenge as preachers to make the experience that someone gets in the temple more rewarding than what they could get from the computer. Of course, prasad is one item. That's definitely our secret weapon. But, you know, that experience of really singing and dancing with devotees, you can't get that. You can get a sense of it. So, yeah, Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. And it really is universal. Young, old, man, woman, educated, less educated, anyone can do it. There's no material qualification or disqualification. That's also part of the Haitukhi, no cause. The cause of your advancement is not your knowledge, it's not your physical strength, it's not your wealth, it's not your good looks. Those are not qualifications. Hare Krishna. I was just saying how it's universal. Even children can participate. And Krishna sent this young devotee to show us the truth of that statement. We won't ask what he just said. Okay. So, well, maybe we should be conscious of the time. So actually it is true It doesn't matter, young, old, man, woman, rich, poor. There's no material qualification or disqualification. The only qualification, if you call it that, is the desire. That's the critical point, the desire. And as Srila Prabhupada says, sangat sanjayate kama, that one develops one's desires according to one's company. It's the same thing. So if we associate with pure devotees, that will help us to develop the same desire to engage fully in devotional service without any other desire. So it can be a very subtle change. It doesn't mean that you have to leave your house or job or anything, but it's a matter of the inner orientation. That's really the critical point. What is your inner orientation? Do you want to serve Radha and Krishna? Is your ultimate goal to enter the spiritual world and serve them and their associates? What is your inner orientation? And you could be doing arti, but you could have a different inner orientation. Your inner orientation could be to get some money and enjoy. Or you could be at work and your inner orientation could be, you know, just to sort of keep the body and soul together so I can serve Krishna and go to Krishna. So that's the real critical point. What is my inner orientation? And if the inner orientation is right, then we'll know what to do. A lot of the times we're confused, you know, should I do this, should I do that? But a lot of the confusion is related to the fact that our desires are mixed. So like we're confused. But if our inner orientation is fixed on Krishna, Radha and Krishna, and their associates, then we can see things in that perspective, and then things are clear. And, I mean, there's always difficult questions, and we always need guidance. But we just having that inner orientation will help us. I mean, that's sort of true of everyone. According to your desires, Krishna gives you intelligence. So, you know, if your desire is to cheat, Krishna will give you the intelligence. Prabhupada actually gave that example. But if your desire is to really serve Krishna, then Krishna will give you the intelligence how to serve him. And that can include giving you the intelligence who to approach for guidance in a particular situation. I think the main thing is association. Even if you're like not completely pure in your desires, you want to be Krishna conscious, but you also want material things, and you're not so strict in your practices. You just keep in the association of pure devotees, it will work. I mean, no one starts perfect, no one starts pure. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, progress is a series of adjustments in the right direction. So we may not be able to do everything all at once. Of course, the sooner the better, but still, if we keep in the association and keep making adjustments that are favorable to our spiritual progress, it will eventually accumulate. Like Prabhupada gave the example, you put a penny in the box, a penny in the box, a penny in the box, it's not much. Eventually it'll add up. You can't do much with a penny or 10 cents or even a dollar. But you just keep putting it in. Every day put a little in, it adds up. And you get $100, you can do something with it. So, we should do as much as we can, but it's understood that we can make progress in small increments, and that will also bring us to the goal. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions or comments? Okay, well.
Thank you very much for being here with us tonight. And I heard you speaking of desire and intent service. And it reminded me of a word that I've heard from in this movement, the word fanaticism. And I don't mean to open a can of worms on a huge topic if that already has been beat to death or not, I'm not sure. But I wanted to know if fanaticism, if it is in the same sense as a strong desire and intense service, does it have a positive or a negative connotation, and or should I even worry with this? If you don't mind to help with that.
No, that's a good question. That's a good question. Well, Srila Prabhupada has given one definition that religion without philosophy is just sentiment or fanaticism. And philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So we need both. And without both, you have like fanatical anything. Muslims who think, you know, I'm going to kill for Allah, or Christians, I'm going to kill for Jesus, or whatever. Now, there are devotees. I mean, this is a very, very delicate issue. There are devotees who, in their youth, really, you know, gave themselves to Krishna consciousness. And then later they couldn't maintain it, couldn't or didn't maintain it. And then, you know, they got married, they faced the realities of maintaining a family in the material world, and they felt unprepared, and they felt they were competing with younger people who were better prepared, and so this caused a sort of reaction. It's a principle that operates everywhere, and we see it operate in ISKCON, the pendulum swinging. So then the reaction was, you know, don't be a fanatic, you know, you're going to, in the end, you're going to have to get married, you're going to have to maintain your family, you're going to need to work. So don't even stay in the temple, you know, just sort of secure your material future. And there's some some truth to that, you know, some wisdom in it. But it's a bit like the pendulum swinging to the other extreme. The Vedic system is that the boys do live as brahmacharis, and that prepares them for being good grihasthas. And a lot of our success, well, whatever, or failure, is a matter of our karma. It is a matter of our karma. There are devotees, god brothers of mine, who gave their youth fully to the movement. You know, they had nothing when they left the movement, and they've ended up becoming millionaires. And then there are others who did the same thing and ended up struggling. I think what we... I would say the opposite of fanaticism would be intelligence. You know, you should be able to intelligently assess your situation and what you can do in your situation. Because you don't want to try to do too much, but you don't want to try to do too little. You don't want to be too much on one side or too much on the other side. And that is a matter of intelligence. Srila Prabhupada said intelligence means to see the same thing from different angles of vision. Not just one angle. That I'm young, I'm enthusiastic, I'm always going to be like this, and just keep going without any thought for the future. But it shouldn't be the other extreme either. Okay, I'm 22 years old now, but one day I'm going to be 80 years old, and I'm, you know, who's going to take care of me and how, you know. So, you know, you're like, you think, you know, you're just worried for when you're, whatever, 80 years old. So, the real thing, as I hinted, is that you can have the right inner orientation in any position in life. You may feel that you are more properly situated in Grihastha Ashram. That's fine. That's probably true for most people. But within Grihastha Ashram, you can have the same focus on the same goal. I mean, yeah, you have to spend time earning. That's a given. But your ultimate goal is the same. I mean, we have so many illustrious Grihasthas in our line. You know, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. Even some, you know, Burijan Prabhu, some of our God brothers, Virabahu Prabhu, they're advanced devotees. They're advanced devotees. Of course, in those two cases, their wives are the same. I mean, their wives are also very fixed in and focused in Krishna consciousness. That definitely helps. But even otherwise, you know, there's no check, nothing ahituki, nothing can cause it, nothing material can cause it, and that also means nothing material can stop it. Prabhupada's wife wasn't that cooperative. Didn't stop him. Hare Krishna. Yes, Rangavati, Mataji.
Please forgive me if I misunderstood, which is why I'm asking you the question. Earlier on you were mentioning how for japa to be fully effective there has to be devotional service. Does that mean it's not effective if there's no devotional service? Because for instance, when we go out on Harinam, we try to give out the holy name. So people are hearing the name, but obviously no devotional service. You know, they're just hearing. And also we give out prasad. I heard someone saying, I've been trying to think who it was, that prasad doesn't act unless someone knows it's Krishna's prasad. If you just give me out, it's just, you know.
No, that's not true.
No, so
that's not true. No, what I said is that Krishna reveals himself when you serve him. Now, the beauty of devotional service is hearing is service. When they hear the holy name, they're engaging in service. Like 2 weeks ago, I met a very nice couple, elderly couple. I think, well, he was more than 90. She was close. Christians, but very open. Not that they were going to give up being Christians, but they were very open to learning more. And, you know, I said, it doesn't really matter what tradition you're following, but what really matters is the purity of your intention and the intensity of your practice. And, you know, the idea that God reveals himself when you serve him. And, so to be completely successful in one lifetime, you know, you have to be able to remember God at the time of death, and to remember God at the time of death, you have to be attached to him, and to be attached to him, you have to know who he is and serve him, because you know who he is by serving him. He reveals himself to you. So then, you know, she was saying, well, I don't do that much service to God. So I said, well, whatever you do, it'll continue in the next life. And then I said, but actually what you're doing now, like asking questions and hearing about God and talking about God, that's also service. So when someone hears the holy name, that's service. I mean, they might not have knowledge, so technically you might say it's a jnana sukriti. But it's one of those things, it's like one cent in the box, and it adds up. When they take prasad, it's service. It's part of deity worship to honor the Lord's remnants. So they make advancement, whether they know it's prasad or not. There are many extraordinary stories in the scripture about the efficacy of prasad, that this is a very extraordinary one, but a tiger ate a sage in the jungle who had just honored prasad. So the tiger got the credit for having eaten prasad. And then just after that, the tiger died, and like he got liberated because he had prasad. just before he died. So that's not true that you have to know. It's definitely not true. Nobody knows in the beginning. I mean, unless they're fortunate to be born in a family who teaches them from a young age, but otherwise they see devotees, they hear the holy name, they get a book, they get prasad, they don't really know what they're getting. But it acts, like Prabhupada said, you give a child medicine, he doesn't know that he's taking medicine, but the medicine will act. I mean, I've seen on the, you know, all these St. Patrick's Day parade and Halloween block party. People, they become very happy when they see us. They chant, they smile, they dance, they take prasad. It's not the same happiness they feel from other singing and dancing and food and it's not the same. Spiritual. Yes, Anthony?
So how do we know who is a pure devotee? Whose association will help us then?
Well, if they're intention, of course there's a subjective judgment, but what Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Instruction is that they faithfully chant their rounds and follow the regulated principles and are always thinking of how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. You take them as a pure devotee. This is the main thing, whether they're fully engaged in devotional service. But it doesn't mean say Bhakti Brinda Govinda Swami. I saw on Facebook a picture of him dressed up like some Mongolian warrior. Some very striking image of him. Now, you know, superficially one might say, that pure devotion, is that devotional service? That pure devotional service? Is he taking a break from devotional service? But no, I mean, he whatever situation he's in, I can assure you he's Krishna conscious. You know, so it shouldn't be like that. You know, it shouldn't be like that. I'll give another, I hate to be, but, you know, we can learn from others' bad experiences. There was a devotee who was an aspiring disciple of a particular guru. This was in South Africa. And the guru was hosting some people. And so he went to the supermarket to buy ingredients. And he was like very closely examining, you know, the different ingredients. Like, it might have even been for pizza to make it harder to. And so that aspiring disciple, like, he lost faith in that guru. He thought, like, you know, he's like paying so much attention to the, you know, first he's going shopping, he's going to the supermarket, then he's paying so much attention to all these details of the ingredients, and, you know, I don't even know what he thought, but that person didn't really last very long in Krishna consciousness. So and then there's your sincerity, like Prabhupada said, like Krishna's in your heart. So, you know, if you're sincere, like Prabhupada often said, you know, if you're sincere, Krishna will bring you to sincere devotees. You know, if you want to be cheated, Krishna will bring you to a cheater. But that's more for like outside this kind. But yeah, I would say in general terms, it's fully engaged in devotional service, following the regulative principles, and chanting 16 rounds, and fully engaged in devotional service. That's his goal, to serve Guru and Krishna. Answer your question, or it's not that easy because devotees are individuals. Everyone is an individual. Devotees are individuals. So there's no stereotype that any devotee can fit in, because it's not external, it's internal. Krishna consciousness is internal. So you can't say that, oh, he did this, so it means he's not a pure devotee, or he did that, so it means he is a pure devotee. Because it's the consciousness. But I think really it's a matter of, instead of like being focused in that way, I mean, it's legitimate. Like, focus on yourself. What is your desire? Because Krishna will fulfill your desire. So if your desire is pure devotional service, Krishna will fulfill it, and he'll give you the direction how to fulfill it. Instead of looking, oh, is this one good enough for me? Is that one good enough for me? I don't think he's good enough for me. Well, how good are you? You know, you should be thinking, am I good enough for him? Not, is he good enough for you? Any other questions or comments? Yes, Madhava.
It's sort of related to the first question. And intense devotional service and dealing with what you referred to as mixed devotees. We might come to a stage in our Krishna consciousness that we want to become more intense and follow more carefully, and also not engage in activities that waste time, like watching the television, eating at restaurants, and, or even outside grain. And we could have different relationships with different devotees. There are some devotees who are that do the same thing that you want to do, but you might have a relationship with another group of devotees that are sort of a little bit more lax in those areas. And it's come up that you're just being fanatical, sort of. And without making those devotees feel bad, and still wanting to, be friends with them and spend time with them, there's sort of a small bit of pressure to sort of just give in to what they're doing so that that way you don't, you know, seem, you know, like a, they I've heard the term weirdo devotee, you know. And so it's like, how do you find the proper way of dealing with that situation so that that way you can maintain your desire to practice in the way that you feel is the right thing to do without offending them, and also not coming across as a fanatical weirdo devotee?
Any suggestions?
I mean, because it's tricky, and it comes up quite a bit. I mean, in my own personal dealings with people.
You know, I think if you tell them how these things affect you, I mean, do they affect you?
They do.
Yeah. So if you tell them how these things affect you, then it's not about them that, you know, that they're not following properly, but it's about you, that if you eat this food, it affects you. It's not about the rule, but it's about you and that it affects you. And it's not about the rule, and it's not about them. So, and then you can ask them, I mean, it affects me in this way. You know, maybe you're stronger than I am, and it doesn't affect you, but at my stage, it does affect me. And, Do you want me to do that? Do you want me to do that if it will affect me in that way? Because no. I wouldn't recommend. I wouldn't recommend any other approach. Because otherwise, it's about them. They'll be defensive. It'll be about the rules. Then it's a matter of interpreting how to apply the rules. But the real point is it's about you, that it affects you when you do these things and you don't like the way it affects you. And it's not about the rules and it's not about them. It's just about how you feel when you do those things. And then the next question is, how long does it affect you? You know, if something affects you for a half hour and then it goes away, then okay, well, maybe for the relationship you could tolerate it. But if it's going to carry over to the next morning and affect you when you're chanting your rounds and things, then it's, you know, so you could even say it's not just like it affects you during the activity, but it affects you after the activity, and you're just not strong enough to withstand that at your present stage. And you know, the other way is to try to create situations where they do those other things that you prefer. I've seen His Holiness Radhanath Swami do this a lot, and you know, if someone comes to you, they want to talk. So you don't want to reject them. You don't want them to feel you're rejecting them. So but actually you don't want to talk the way they want to talk. So you say, I really want to spend time with you, but I have to finish my rounds, or I have my quota of reading to do, and or whatever, you know. And so I'd be happy if you did it with me. I'd be happy if you did it with me. I want to spend time with you, but I just have to finish my rounds. I have to finish my quote of reading or, you know, my prayers that I recite. And prasad, you know, if you can invite them over, make a nice meal, according to standards of devotional purity. It's the same idea, like, not to reject, but to replace the lesser with the greater. Like at Hare Krishna land, we had like a lot of little children. I mean, when we got the property, there were these six apartment buildings at the back, and there were a lot of little children. And they were like always running around making noise. So one of the devotees went to Srila Prabhupada and complained, you know, there were all these children running around making noise. You know, we have to keep them, you know, we have to establish some order to keep them quiet. Prabhupada said, no, you don't understand. The idea is not to keep them quiet. The idea is to engage them in kirtan. That propensity to make noise should be engaged in kirtan, not to try to make them quiet. So that's our general principle. All right. Thank you very much.